Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. But today we're talking about the kingdom of God. And if we have at all engaged Scripture, maybe even in the Old Testament, you see roots there, but especially in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, then likely we have come across those four words, the kingdom of God. We probably have heard someone talk about it. We've maybe heard someone preach about it. We maybe even ourselves have used those words in conversation, the kingdom of God, or very simply, the kingdom. But do we truly understand what those four words are all about? The kingdom of God. If not, it's okay. You're in good company. And so to better understand, we're going to break down this message and this study into four questions, four very simple questions. And like we've done a couple of times, you know, our typical pattern here at Westview is we read one passage and we really dig deep and dive deep into that one passage. But a few times in this series, we've kind of looked at a whole bunch of Scripture passages. So what I want you to do, if you have your Bibles with you, have them open, have them ready. If you want to turn to the passages that we're going to reference, I would encourage you to do that. Write that. If you want to take notes, underline, highlight, do all those things. But I am going to help you out a little bit, have some passages on the screen, because we're going to fly through a bunch of different passages here today. And so everybody just do this with me. Take a deep breath. Everybody buckle your seatbelts, because here we go. First question. What is it? What is it? If we've heard the term before, maybe we've heard it said before, maybe we've heard it preached on before, we've sung about it before, even today, or some of our lyrics were around the kingdom, we maybe then have a vague general understanding that the kingdom is important and that the kingdom is good. And it is. It's important. And it's good. And it's vital for us to have more than just a general, vague understanding, because the kingdom of God is a central message of Jesus. Jesus talks about the kingdom all the time. Do you know how many times he talks about the church in the Gospels? Two times. Do you know how many times he talks about the kingdom of God? Depends on how you count. Some would say 80 times. Some would say it depends on how you count, 100 times. Depends on how you count. Some would say that Jesus talks about the kingdom of God 120 times. The kingdom of God is important to Jesus. Sometimes he talks about it in parables. Sometimes he refers to it directly. Sometimes he references it. But all this to say is that understanding the kingdom of God is important because it's important to Jesus. And language matters when we're talking about the kingdom and defining what it is. Some would argue that the word kingdom, which is a good translation of the word, is maybe not the most helpful term. Because when we use the word kingdom, we maybe then convey an idea of a geographic area or a civic state. But the kingdom of God is not something that you can find and pull up on your GPS. And the kingdom of God is not a municipality like a city or a state or a nation. Jesus says after his arrest before Pilate, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so some would rather use a helpful term called the reign of God. R-E-I-G-N, reign of God. And what that word does is it helps portray what the kingdom is. It's the action of God. It's the active work of God. The reign of God is where God is reigning as king. Not where, as in a location, but rather where the work of God reigning as king is happening. It's where his intervention in this world is evident. It's where his authority and where his power are on display. It's where, in a world that is messed up by sin, God is doing something about it. It's his work of redeeming and reconciling and restoring and saving. In Romans 14, verse 17, it says this: the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so the kingdom of God, or the reign of God, is where God's saving activity is prevalent. It's where wrongs are being made right. It's where sin-infused chaos is transformed into spirit-instilled peace. It's where the realm of darkness is giving way to the light of the world. It's where death is replaced by life. And friends, this is the work of God in our world. And where this is happening, that's evidence of the kingdom of God. That's a testimony to the righteous reign and rule of our sovereign God. You remember we used that term many months ago, the sov and prov of God, the sovereignty of God. God reigns. And where we see God's reigning, that is the kingdom. Now, there's one other definition we have to get clarity about as well when we talk about what the kingdom is. And I'll just say it very simply. The church, big C church, okay, equals with a slash through it, does not equal the kingdom. Let me say that again. The church is not the kingdom. The church is God's great tool of the kingdom, for the kingdom. When we, the church, seek and pursue God and his work of redemption and his work of healing and wholeness and restoration, when we're walking in step with the active work of God, that's what defines what the kingdom is all about, that active work of God. The church, the Big C church, is not the end game. It's not the end goal. The kingdom is. The church is an important vessel through which God is actively at work in our world to bring about the kingdom, but the church is not the kingdom itself. And so we as the church, we have to adopt what we call a kingdom mindset. When we think about ministry, that we do ministry, we want to pursue ministry that is in terms of kingdom wins, not just what is good for Westview Church. God's ultimate purpose is not a Westview church kingdom or a Hope kingdom or a Valley kingdom or a Life church kingdom. No, all these churches, all these congregations, we're all on the same team. We're on the kingdom of God team. And we are all together in our own unique ways pursuing the reigning work of God. So that's what the kingdom is, we'll say. And if that is what it is, then the second question is this. Well, what does the kingdom look like? If it's not a place, then how do we see it? Well, simply put, it's seeing God at work. It's seeing God at work. If we look at the New Testament and we look at the life of Jesus, we see the kingdom evident in a couple of different ways. One of them is we see the kingdom evident. We can see the kingdom in Jesus, his healing ministry. And very literally, at times, Jesus is driving out demons or evil spirits. At times, Jesus is bringing about physical healing or other kinds of healing. And no matter what kind of healing is taking place, the same core is happening. Something is broken, and it's now being restored. That's what the kingdom looks like. It's restoration of a fallen world. And that not only includes broken bones or blindness or being mute, but it also includes the brokenness of our souls, the brokenness in our lives. See, we see God at work in the saving of our souls through the person and work of Jesus Christ. There's a passage, Colossians 1. This might be a good one if you want to look it up and write, underline it or highlight it. Colossians 1 says this: "For he, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God at work saving us, bringing us into His kingdom, forgiveness of sins. Another way that we see the kingdom and see the kingdom is through Jesus' teaching ministry, through the parables that Jesus tells. There's many, many, many different parables that Jesus gives, and many of them, the parables are about the kingdom. And it makes sense that Jesus would use parables, because parables are used to take a somewhat of a complex topic and put them in a context that we understand. Now, the hard part with parables is that parables are a little indirect, and parables usually just focus on one aspect. And so we have to look at the kind of the whole swath of parables to get a better glimpse of the multifaceted kingdom. For example, there's a chapter, Matthew 13. It's a fantastic chapter. Jesus teaches throughout all of it, and it's one teaching after another that's a parable, and so many of them are about the kingdom of God. For example, the kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like a net that has some good fish and some bad fish. And so the kingdom is this mixed bag that will be separated out, not right away, but at judgment. Jesus also says in Matthew 13, talks about how the kingdom is small but influential. Like, it's like yeast that you put in flour and dough, and it does what yeast does. It helps it to expand. Kingdom of God, Matthew 13, is also, the kingdom is like the smallest of seeds, like a mustard seed, but it grows. The kingdom grows because, like a mustard seed, the tiniest of all seeds, it grows in this largest of plants. Matthew 13, Jesus says that the kingdom is a call to action, that whether it's a hidden treasure or whether it's a precious pearl, we go after it, we seek it, we search for it with all that we've got. Other places Jesus talks about parables in the kingdom of God as well. Matthew 20, the kingdom is surprising. The parable of the vineyard, the workers in the vineyards, no matter when you join, whenever you enter the kingdom, you receive the same reward. And we could go on and on and on with all these parables that Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God. But the other important piece of how do we see the kingdom is just by looking at Jesus Himself. Jesus Himself is really, really at the forefront of anything that is related to the kingdom. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Christmas. Christmas is that great celebration of God the Son coming to earth to be with us. We call it the incarnation. That moment we call the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, when Jesus comes. That moment is God's eternity-defining, definitive work, where God sends Jesus. This is God taking action in a once-and-for-all sort of matter, because in Jesus, souls are restored. In Jesus, there's the promise of eternal life. The coming of Jesus is the key moment of redemptive history. Because when Jesus comes, the scale is tipped. We move from the evil one's pseudo-control of this world to God exercising His omnipotent, that means all-powerful, reign. And from that moment, when Jesus comes, history is forever changed. All things are forever changed. God's reign is now at hand. God's reign is here. And the redemptive chapter of the world history has written its first sentence. But not its last. See, there's something with Jesus here that we have to name as well. The kingdom has come. Jesus is here. He's come. We celebrate that at Christmas. The kingdom is here. God's redemptive work is happening through Jesus. We see evidence of God's reign, healing, kingdom growth, wholeness, restoration, salvation of souls, so much more, the active work of God. But it's not perfect yet. There is still so much hurt and so much pain. We were made all the more aware of that again yet this week. There's still sickness and there's still illness. There's still corruption and darkness that woos the hearts and minds of so many. We know this. We feel this. And so we live in what's called the already but not yet. The already. Jesus has come. The kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. The inbreaking of the kingdom. And while today we know what the final chapter will be, we know how this will end, that has not yet been put to print. Not yet. That will happen when Jesus comes again, the second coming of Jesus. And in that moment, it won't just be the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, but when Jesus comes again, the fullness of the kingdom of God will come. And in that time, all things will be restored, and all things will be made new, and all things will be redeemed. That's what the kingdom looks like and will look like. Which then brings us to our third question. That's what it is, and that's what it looks like. Then what is the message of the kingdom? What's its message? And this one might be actually the easiest one for us to find, or at least to find in Scripture, because it's the very first recorded words of Jesus. If you want to look at Mark chapter 1, you can move there with me if you'd like. But in Mark, if we believe that Mark is the first gospel written, these are the first words of Jesus recorded in that gospel. And Jesus says this. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, after John, that's John the Baptist, was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. So what he's about to say here is good news. Notice that defining work there. It's good news. It's gospel. The message of the kingdom is good news. And here's what Jesus says. We'll put this here on the screen. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This idea that the kingdom has come or that the kingdom is near is exactly what we're talking about a few moments ago. It's not a geographic location. It's not as if Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is close by. So let's play a game. You ever play the hot and cold game? Right? If I walk this way and it's over here and you're saying cold, 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 colder, colder, cold. You're freezing, right? And you turn around like, warmer, 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 hot, hot, hot. Oh, you're burning up, right? That's how we always said it. Right? Jesus is not saying you're going to be able to walk around and find it. He's saying the kingdom is here because I'm here. Jesus has come. It's the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. And he's here. He's come into this world. He's here in our midst, not fully. But the kingdom is here. And therefore, then Jesus gives a command. One word. Because the kingdom is here. He says, repent. Repent is that great Greek word metaneo. It means to change one's thinking and one's action in a 180-degree turn. Moving in one direction and about face to the other. And so Jesus says, the kingdom is here. Repent. He's saying, turn away from the old ways. Turn away from the ways of this world. Turn away from the ploys of the evil one. Turn away from all the temptations and leave behind all that the evil one is trying to put before you. Turn away from that. Repent and turn towards the kingdom and accept the invitation to come to the kingdom of God where there's salvation for your souls, where there's forgiveness of sins, where there's redemption and reconciliation and wholeness and grace upon grace and a peace that passes all understanding, where there is life that is abundant and eternal and free. Jesus says, repent and believe. Repent and believe. This is the gift of the kingdom, the gift of the kingdom that we are to believe. To believe this good news, to believe that God did love this world so much that he sent his son Jesus. To believe that in Jesus there is the forgiveness of sins and there is the promise of eternal life. To believe that when we put our trust in Jesus, death is no longer our determined destiny, but rather we have hope and joy and life for all of eternity. Friends, that is the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is it's here. Repent. Believe. This is straight from Jesus' lips to our ears this morning. And so that brings us then to our fourth question. If that is the message of the kingdom, then how do we respond to the kingdom? How do we respond? Jesus offers the suggestion here, right? Repent and believe. He really, what he's saying is to receive the kingdom. To receive it. Receive it. Receive the kingdom for the wonderful gift that it is. And Jesus even goes further than that. He gets a little more specific. He says, receive it like a child. Mark 10, verse 15 says this. Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I'm curious, did anybody watch Kids Open Presents recently? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that fascinates me so very much. In our home or in our extended family, we usually go youngest to oldest and, you know, gets to open presents first. It's always fascinating to me that when it's one of the kids' turn, they can hop up from their seat and they can go right over to the Christmas tree and they know exactly which present's already theirs. Someone did a little snooping, I think, yes? And what they do is they rush over to the Christmas tree and they grab, they don't even have to look anymore because they know that wrapping paper is mine. And so they grab it and they tear off the wrapping paper. And they're only slowed ever so slightly anymore by the packaging tape. And they reach their hand inside and they pull out the surprise of the gift that is theirs. And they do so with a joyous and wild expression on their face, yes? Friends, that's how we're invited to receive the kingdom of God. With the same enthusiasm as a child opening presents at Christmas. We receive it. We embrace the wonderful work that God is doing in us and through us as God is reigning in this world. Not only do we receive the kingdom, but Jesus says we're also called to seek the kingdom. This comes from the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, this is Matthew 6:33, the one passage we had up in kind of at the beginning there. But Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this, but seek first His, God's kingdom, and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In context, Jesus is talking about here, He says, don't be worried about, don't concern yourself with the things that you're going to eat. Don't concern yourself with the things you're going to drink. Don't concern yourself with what you're going to wear. Don't concern yourself that there's only so many hours in a day and never enough time to do all the things. Jesus says our searching, our seeking, our pursuit, our quest is to be the kingdom of God. Our seeking is supposed to be about the work and the activity of God's reign all around us. To make primary focus for us, that which is of primary importance to God, the things that God is about. Again, redemption, reconciliation, restoration, healing, wholeness, salvation, hope, grace, life. We are to seek the kingdom. Notice the word there is seek the kingdom, not build the kingdom. We do not build the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom is not a place. It's not a house. It's not a city that we would build up in some sort of way. The kingdom is the action of God's work reigning in and amongst us and through us and around us. We don't build that. We seek it. We pursue it. Now, some of us are maybe saying, hold up, we sing a song that uses that word. Yes? You know that song? Build your kingdom here. And you know what? We're going to sing that song later. Here's why. That song does a remarkable job with the lyrics in being theologically sound. If we look at some of those lyrics, they encapsulate so much of what we're talking about here. The very first words, come set your rule and reign. Whose rule? Whose reign? God's reign. Come set your rule and reign. That's the kingdom. Later it says, to see the captives' hearts released, to the poor, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. That's restoration. That's redemption. It confesses in the song, we are your church. We're not the kingdom. We're your church, and we need your power in us. So fill us with the strength and the love of Christ. We can go on. There's lots of great lyrics there, but all affirms what we're talking about today. And then it goes to that great chorus. Us. Singing to God, build your kingdom here. God, this is your work, not ours. This is your doing, not ours. God, build your kingdom here. And it ends with what? We pray. That's the final response that we would have for the kingdom. We pray. Not only are we encouraged to do so in the lyrics of the song we're going to sing at the end of the worship service, but Jesus himself teaches us in the Lord's Prayer to pray for the kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We receive the good news of the kingdom. We seek the kingdom and we pray for the kingdom. We pray, God, all the more would you extend your reign of wholeness and of justice and of peace on this earth. God, would you use us, in us, and through us. God, would you actively be at work so that your reign would be all the more evident in this world. And we not only pray for that, but we also pray, God, would you send Jesus again? That as great as this world is, as great as this life is, we want to pray Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus, because we want Jesus. We still know we're living in that already and not yet, where there's pain and hardship and hurts and sickness and illness. And so we pray, Jesus, God, send Jesus again, because God, when you send Jesus again, everything is going to be as it was always intended to be, and all things will be made whole, and all things will be renewed. And so we pray, your kingdom come. We receive the kingdom, we seek the kingdom, we pray for the kingdom. That's how we respond to the kingdom. Anybody else want to take a deep breath? I do. If your head is swimming, I'm right there with you. I'm sorry. I know that's a lot. We could spend a whole sermon series just on the kingdom itself. And so now you maybe feel bad for the young college student who many years ago when we were in Michigan, sweet young college student, she asked me, she was a part of our congregation, and she emailed me one day and she said, I hear you talking about this thing called the kingdom of God. And I hear my professors, she was going to Hope College, and she said, I hear my professors talking about the kingdom of God. And she just said, what is the kingdom of God? And do you feel bad for her that she got an email with all this stuff back to her? Doesn't surprise some of you. You've seen some of my emails, right? They're long. But the kingdom is such an important piece of the whole theological matrix of our faith. It's so important we get our minds around it. And friends, I would be happy to talk more with any of us if you'd like to talk further about it. But we're going to close with this morning. So for this message, I went back into the old file from 20 years ago now, my notes from seminary, from New Testament Life and Witness. In that class, our professor had a lecture on the kingdom of God, and that was, for me, a most helpful opportunity to learn what actually is the kingdom. And that has been helpful for me to answer her question, to talk about it, to think about it, to pursue it in ministry, and those notes were helpful in guiding this message as well. And in those notes, I found this written. And I believe that it is a helpful, all-encompassing and yet succinct definition of the kingdom. And I want to share that with you. In fact, if you have a program, we've included it in the bottom of your program because I want you to take this with you today. But that professor said this: the kingdom is fundamentally about what God is doing, where God is present, and the gifts that God is giving. It is always that which pertains to God and God's saving activity in the face of human failure. The kingdom is both God's gracious action to save and to restore and the concrete results of that action in transformed life. The kingdom. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, we simply pause and give you thanks today for the gift that the kingdom is, the good news that it is for us, the way that you are active and taking action in our world, the world in which you reign as Almighty God and King. We thank you for Jesus, in whom the kingdom comes. We thank you that in Jesus there is redemption and reconciliation for our hearts, our lives, our souls, for this world. We pray this morning, God, that each one of us, that we we might receive it, we might seek it, and we might pray for its continued expanse until Jesus comes again. God, we do pray for the moment when all things will be made right and all things will become whole yet again, as they were always intended to be from the moment you created with your words. God, we were made all too aware this week of the brokenness of this world that once again reached unfathomable levels. And so our hearts break for the community and the school and the district, the families in Perry. And God, we confess that our minds cannot grasp the hurt and the pain that has been experienced. And it feels like the only thing that we understand is that such things should not happen. We confess, God, that we don't know. We certainly can't seem to agree upon the right earthly way to fix what has been happening far too often. And so, God, we look to you. We call out to you for your intervention, for your work to be happening in ways that is beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding, so that sin's wickedness would be held at bay. So that children should not have to go to school in fear. So teachers can focus on reading and writing and not on escape plans or defense tactics. So that in all of our communities we might have a sense of togetherness and respect and joy and sharing life together. Indeed, we pray, God, let your kingdom come. God, we also pray that you would bring comfort to families that grieve this day. We pray for Pat and Karen Norton and their families that grieve the loss of Karen's mom this past week. We pray for Sandy Arkensinger and her family, passing of her brother-in-law. We pray for those who are sick and ill, whether it's chronic or acute, whether it's physical or emotional or mental health. We pray for your healing and your restoration. And God, we pray this morning for your church, for here at Westview, for our work, our shared work together around creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. We pray for staff. We pray for leadership. We pray for each and every person who calls this place home, that you continue to do good work in us and through us as we seek your kingdom first. But God, we don't just pray for Westview Church. We pray for other churches across the city and across the state and around this globe. We are all members of the Kingdom of God team, and we pray that in all of our unique ways, we might be a part of your kingdom work that is happening in us and through us. Indeed, may your kingdom come. God, we pray all of this, and so much more that is on our hearts and our minds this day. We pray it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our hope. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.